good to have them. I'm glad that my wife could come along with me this evening. I come from southern Pennsylvania and just freshly graduated from Bible college, just graduated this past spring. And I know a couple of faces, not too many. You know, Janae, I think I have one class with her, and then I had many classes with Caleb Ziegler. And so I know a couple faces, but not too many. I'm trusting that throughout this week, I'll get to know more of you, and I'm trusting that you'll get to know more of me, and that God will just help throughout this youth revival through this week here. I'm asking you tonight, if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to look at a familiar passage tonight. It's the last three verses that I like to look at, and I'd like for you to stand together as we read God's Word this evening. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, a very familiar passage, the Great Commission tonight. I'd just like to read it and share some thoughts. Matthew 28, verse 18 says this, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you'll move tonight. We ask that you'll just help and anoint the words that you've given to me, and just ask that you'll just speak to hearts tonight. In your name, amen, and you may be seated tonight. As Pastor Ziegler already mentioned, I did say to him that I'm not that long-winded of a preacher, and my wife would be one of those people who would have said amen with that fact, and she reminds me to keep it brief and short, and she likes it when it's that, so I'm trusting that throughout this week I will keep it brief, and but I want to gain some truths that hopefully we can apply to our own hearts and lives. So as I said, this is the Great Commission, and I'm certainly not going to be one that's going to stand up here and claim to preach the best from it. I'm not going to say that you're going to hear grand new insights, but I'm hopefully to remind you again what our job as Christians should be, and what should be in the heart of every single believer here tonight, and what should be important to us. And I feel if every single Christian would truly grasp what's written in these simple words, the world would be transformed. Lives would be changed, and there would be so many different things that would happen that would be unbelievable, I would say. And tonight, I hope to maybe whet your appetite, per se. Get you reinvigorated with God's task, with God's plan for His church, for each and every one of the believers, from the youngest to the oldest tonight. And God's plan starts with His church and His gospel going forth through us. And if we do not do it, then it simply will not get done. And I will split this message tonight into three simple short points. And the first point tonight is the word go. The word go in verse number 19. Jesus, He gives this command. He commands the disciples to go. John MacArthur says this, "The person who desires to glorify God, who wants to honor God's will and God's purpose and God's desire, must then love the lost world the way God loves the lost world, and gave His life for the sake of winning that lost world. This is the pattern. Christ loved the lost world and sought to win it. God loved the lost world and sought to win it for Himself, for His glory. And Christ came into the world, loved the lost world, and sought to win it for the Father's glory. And we too are sent into the world to love that lost world, to seek to win it for the glory of God the Father. And our mission is the same mission that Christ had, the same mission of God the Father, no different, identical. When Jesus came into the world, He wanted to glorify the Father. And I'd ask if you turn back to John chapter 17, and I feel like this outlines it so beautifully tonight, or the word go and how we are to illustrate this. In John chapter 17, we see in verse 3, it says this, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth, I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Jesus, he did the work which God the Father had told him to do. And if we look at verse number 8, the one that I read tonight, it shows that Jesus had passed on to the disciples this same message. He had given them the task and they received it. They understood it. They knew what they were to do. And if we were to look down at verse number 18, it says this, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Jesus had been sent to reach the lost people, to die on the cross for their sins, and he had sent the disciples into the world to reach them for Christ, to show them Christ. And he knew and he wanted the disciples to spread out and to tell others of this gospel, and he gave them the task of going. And if we were to look through Acts chapter 1 and really throughout the book of Acts, we can see where they were going. They were supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. These men had this responsibility from on high. And if we look at this, it tells of their going. It tells instance after instance of them going to the known world and making disciples and telling people of Christ. Paul, he went up through modern-day Turkey and Greece and into Rome. And we know that Philip spoke to an Ethiopian eunuch who took that gospel to his home country. The disciples were going, and they did not just stay in Jerusalem, they went out. And that responsibility still rings true today. Go. And oftentimes when we think of going, we think of a Nate Saint, a Jim Elliot, someone who made the ultimate sacrifice, going to a far country and dying for the cause of Christ. Or maybe we think of a Hudson Taylor, going to China, a nation that had not been reached with the gospel. And that certainly fits the bill tonight for going. Or our minds may be drawn to someone more recent. Someone that I know, and Eric and Hannah Coons, who are ministering in Honduras right now as we speak. And that, it's a part of what's going, but it's not the whole picture tonight. Certainly, I would say if God has called you to a foreign field, you must go. It is your call. You cannot stay here now. But let's remember the first place Jesus mentioned for his disciples to go. Jerusalem. Their hometown. And tonight, the vast majority of us may not be called to a foreign mission, but we are called to those around us. And everyone tonight has that calling. And my heart's cry, God's heart's cry, is that we would go. We would minister to those people around us that only we can reach. Those people who we have direct contact with. The family members that need Christ. Is there some that you know? I have certainly family members that I know that need Christ. And I ask myself, what am I doing to bring the gospel? Am I being a witness for Christ to them? This is God's heart. We must be going. Is there something that's holding us back? Are we scared what others might think? We must get over this. We must start going. Is there a group of people that we might have a bias against? A group that is hard for us to reach the gospel with, to tell the gospel. And as I said, I just recently graduated from Pennview. And at Pennview, they have a class structure that I enjoy some of the time and some of the time I don't. They have one class structure which I do not enjoy is they have an evening Tuesday night class from 6:30 to 9:10 every week. And I will be honest with you, it can get very long and very boring, depending on who your teacher is exactly. And I had one teacher one semester that it was a struggle just to stay awake in class. And it was a struggle to comprehend much of anything. But I had my second Tuesday evening class, God truthfully had been working on me through that class. And something that God had been working on my heart in an area that I needed to grow in. And it's challenged me over and over again. And truthfully, tonight, this message and this sermon comes from that class. My class on Tuesday night is talking about the Muslim faith. How can we reach Muslims? What are potential roadblocks and issues that cause us not to reach them? And I will be upright, forthright, and honest with you tonight. Going into the class, I had very much a negative view of Muslims. Obviously, we know it was Muslims who bombed the World Trade Center. It was Muslims that are causing problems right now in the Middle East. ISIS is Muslim. And so, as an American, I'm an American today, and I vote as American. I'm as much American you can get. And I had this, there's like this twig of distrust for a Muslim. A Muslim. An instructor of the class, he asked some hard-hitting questions to the class, and it hit me as well. He said, "Is me being an American holding me back from speaking to a Muslim? Is my patriotism getting in the way of me going to them?" Tonight, it's something that I feel like we must check in our hearts. Is there something that's holding me back? I am first a Christian, and second, an American. That song that states, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through," is so true. I can't have anything in my heart that would hinder me from going. And tonight, you cannot have anything in your heart that would do the same. It's an area I'm growing in. It's an area I'm asking God to help me in, to be an outreach, to be a witness. In the town where I am from, I pastor in the city of Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. And in the city of Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, there are some Muslims in there. It's not an overwhelming population, but there are facts that there are some. And I have had a conversation with a Muslim. God had opened that door. But there has to be a surrender to God. God, whatever it may be, there can't be any people group, anything in our hearts and life that would hinder us from talking to someone about Christ. We are here for the purpose of going out into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. It's why the Father sent the Son and why the Son sends us tonight. Our first step, go. I move now to our second step this evening in this passage that we talked about. And that is that we are told to teach all nations. In verse number 19, it talks about this. And then if you look down at verse number 20, it clarifies it a little bit better. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." To teach all nations. If we look at that, we can look at the fact that teach can be interchanged with discipling. And it's an interchangeable word. And I will say tonight that I have had a rebranding of a discipleship thought. A rebranding. Discipleship was a word I knew about, but a word that wasn't an action in my life. A word that, sure, I thought was great, but nothing I did much about. And as I went through this class, it brought more hard-hitting questions to me, truthfully, and that's really one of the reasons that Penview exists, is to help us to grow and to stretch in our thought process and to grow more Christ-like. And discipleship was one of those areas. God commands us to make disciples of all nations. And that certainly seems like an intimidating task for us tonight. All nations. But I think we can start with one person. And I wonder tonight, if we as Christians took the time to disciple someone, would we see people walking so easily away from the Lord? If we picked one younger Christian than us, we may be younger than them age-wise, but we may be older than spiritually-wise. If we help them along, disciple them, could we help them grow easier? Could we help them through times of temptation? Pastor Ziegler here tonight is an amazing pastor. He's one of the best pastors that I know. But the fact of the matter is, he doesn't have time to disciple every single one of you every single time. It's our responsibility as well. We can't get every single truth out of every single sermon. That's not the way it works. We need to take on our heart an individual, that individual basis, telling someone and discipling them. And as we disciple and help them to grow more Christ-like, we can show them what God has done for them and their life and tell them to go out and tell others in that chain reaction. Warren Wiersbe says this, that the word disciple means more than being a convert or a church member. Apprentice might be an equivalent term. A disciple, he attaches himself to a teacher, identified with him, learned from him, and lived with him. He learned not simply by listening, but also by doing. Our Lord called 12 disciples and taught them so they might teach others. And I also agree with Wiersbe when he says this, that in many aspects we've grown away from this pattern. Here in America, you know, we pay pastors to preach and to win the lost, build up the saved. And while we may think that that's awesome, we function as cheerleaders, spectators. And if a new convert happens, they plug in as that other spectator very soon. I want us to think, what would happen if we reached out and discipled someone else? Something to think about. And tonight, I know it's a responsibility of mine. It's a job of mine. It's something I must do, something that I have to do that the Bible commands. We must fulfill God's great commission. And this responsibility is with every believer, not just a small group of the elect few. We need to take times. And we may be scared and wondering, how can I even start? What do I even do? You can just be a friend. A friend to a younger Christian, giving encouraging words along the way, and be willing to answer any questions they may have. And you may feel like you're inadequate. You don't know all the answers per se, but you can answer the questions you do know, and you can work on the others. And being that friend is a great way to start that discipleship process and continue to teach them. Even as young people, this is something that we can do. I try to classify myself. I still think I'm fairly young. It's something that we can do in ourselves. We can encourage someone that's a younger Christian. Talk to them. Teach them to observe all things. My third and final point this evening is found in the last part of verse number 20. Jesus said, "I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." God has promised that He would be with us throughout this great commission. And it might seem scary, might seem hard to do. Trust me, I find it hard to talk to people about Jesus. It's not something that's naturally easy. But I know my call. I know your call tonight. And I need to remember time and time again that Jesus has said He will be with us. We don't have to be afraid. We can go on believing and trusting that He will help. And truthfully, what got me thinking about this thought was the reference out of Habakkuk. And honestly, I don't know too much out of the book of Habakkuk. But Habakkuk 1:1-5 says this, and it struck me that evening. "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear me? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are they that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." And God replies in verse 5, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." And if we were to look in depth at that beginning part of Habakkuk, he's crying out to God. All he sees around him is evil, wickedness, and sin. It's all he could see, and he didn't understand, why was this going forth? What is happening in the world around him? And it seems that way in America today. People growing further and further from God, shaking their fists, it may seem, saying, "I don't need God, I'll do it my own way." And it seems sadly like the Christian values this country was once found on, they don't matter anymore. Seems like persecution can happen at any time. And there, before, when there was many presidential candidates that were hopeful to be the Democratic nominee, there were two of them that I was greatly concerned about. And the one stated that if any church wouldn't agree on same-sex marriage, they would be put out of their tax-exempt status. Wanted to close a loop. Another one of the major presidential candidates, he was openly gay. A direct violation of God's word. Where has America gone? It seems so dark. Even now, our nation seems lost without God. But through the dark time that Habakkuk had, just like what feels like we are in, God spoke through. He told Habakkuk that He would work a work so mighty, so marvelous, and so impactful that though it be told to him, he would not believe it. He couldn't comprehend it. And God tonight is still doing a work. I've read a book of God is redeeming a lost world. And truthfully, millions of people are coming to Christ throughout India, throughout China, and the world, really. God is moving. Muslims are coming to Christ. Tom Doyle, a director for Muslim Ministries, said this. He said, in the last 10 years, more Muslims have come to the faith in Christ than in the last 15 centuries of Islam. 10 years. God is still moving at work. It isn't all doom and gloom. God can do a work in our own heart and life, but he needs us to be willing vessels tonight. He can do a work so mighty, so powerful, that we can't even imagine it. We can't even comprehend it. We can't wrap our minds about it, that God would shake our nation with such a mighty power. God has the power. We have the responsibility to fulfill our commission, our responsibility, our job. We have a job tonight. And the questions I end with this are this. Are we willing to be used? Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to spend extra time in prayer? Are we willing to talk to that one, disciple that one that may seem low, the one that may need that encouraging word? Because if we are, we can see God's work go forward. We can see God do something so mighty in our day, in our time. So many times people think the next generation, it's going to be bad here in America. But we have the responsibility as young people that can change that if we listen to God and we obey the call, the Great Commission, we pour out and we ask him to help. Let's stand this evening. Open this revival with a challenge to our hearts. If you need to pray, the altar is open, but I'm not specifically having an altar call tonight, but just something I want us to think about. Are we going? Are we discipling? Are we being the willing vessels that God wants us to be tonight? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, O God, for the fact that you are moving, O God. And while we may not always see it, we may not always understand it, O God, you still are moving across our world and across our nation, O God. Help us to be plugged in, O God. Help us to be a part of the Great Commission. Help us not to be soldiers sitting on the sideline, O God. We have a responsibility, we have a job, and we have a duty, O God, as Christians, to share the gospel, to share the good news, and to tell others and to disciple them and to help them to grow, O God. Help each and every one of us to be doing that tonight. Help us to be drawing closer to you. We trust that you will help throughout the duration of the rest of this revival. Keep us safe tonight. In your name, amen. You are dismissed.